Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Welcome to BIB Radio on the Black Talk Radio Network. I am Cece Harry, one of your hosts, and I have my co-host on one of the lines, Mr. Robert 11X Minor. Are you on the line, Robert?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
All right, and I understand we will also have Mr. Shabazz on the line with us, and we have also invited a couple of other folk to show up, so let's see what happens. Robert, how are you doing this? Oh, what time? It is evening for everybody. Okay. How are you doing this evening?
I am doing quite well, Cece. It is always a pleasure to hear your voice. You sound well. How are you doing?
Well, I can't wait to get back home. I am in Anchorage, Alaska right now. But, you know, I'm dealing with it. The weather was sort of okay at first, but now it's raining and it's kind of cold. It's like 50 degrees. So when I look at the reports of everywhere else, I'm just kind of like, oh, my goodness, get me out of here. But I'm here for a purpose, so I will definitely get through it. But, yeah, so, Robert, enough about me. What is our show about today?
Well, it's a lot going on in the throughout the United States and the world as it pertains to race relations and poverty, especially with black people. And I've been seeing a lot on the news, black men being shot down by police, a lot of protesting. So it inspired me to want to talk about, you know, what revolution should we be focused on? Should we, you know, focus on the entrepreneurship? You know, could be, I mean, when you really think about it, that is something that definitely we need to be focused on. But the show is entitled Equal Rights or Entrepreneurship, Which One is the Revolution We Need?
Sounds like a very deep subject. Again, we have Brother Shabazz on the line. He's there. We're going to let him in a minute. But let's remind our listeners who may be listening through internet and they want to join us. The dial-in number is area code 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-pound. And if you would like to speak to us or be in queue to talk, press the star 6 and the number 1. We have quite a few people on the line, so if you all would like to speak, of course, go ahead and press that pound and star 6 and the number 1 so we can get you in queue. So, Robert, you know, there's been a lot of killing here. Man, I mean, it's like always killing. That's what's in the news. It's never ending. So I don't know if people are becoming numb, but what I noticed is here in Anchorage, Alaska, and I was kind of privy to this before I got here because I don't see people really engaged as far as like activism. I don't see anything from Alaska going on. But last night I was disheartened to find out that what I was thinking was true. One of my cousins reached out to me and said, yeah, we know what's going on, but it doesn't happen here, so we don't worry about it. And I was like, wow, that is how disconnected I used to be. So I was like, oh, I immediately got on Facebook and I was like, let me Google Black Alaska and just see what I could find. You know, what groups can I find that I can connect with? Because one, that's not going to be good for me, is, you know, if I'm walking around here and seeing people in La La Land. So I have to connect with people who are conscious. So I did find some people. But, you know, when you're in a position, I'm here for another purpose, as you know, but when you're in a position, you know that God always has a purpose for you to be there, more than what you even know. So I said, okay, I need to go ahead. First of all, connect with someone who is interested in the cause, the movement, our issues and our struggle, you know, and then seek out other people, you know, just try to see where you could find people who can connect with what you're talking about. And it appears that I have found some people, because tomorrow there's like a filming of Hidden Colors somewhere. I think it's Hidden Colors 3. So I'm going to make sure that I'm there. And my children's grandmother, I discovered she's very ride or die militant, you know. I really didn't know this about her, but she's like, I'm ready to be militant. And I was like, okay, well, let's do that. So I'm going to go, she and I, tomorrow to watch Hidden Colors. I don't know if anybody else is going with us, but me and her are going to see it. So to bring it all around full circle, with all these things going on in the news and just this stuff, I mean, nobody can afford to be disconnected. I don't care if you live in Antarctica. If your people are dying in the United States, you need to definitely connect with the United States. You need to find out how you can be active in what needs to happen as far as change. Nobody has all of the answers, but with us combining our minds and just deciding to economically do something, I think that we can make some change. And at this time, I got to mention Miss Gerald Sanders and Onus Inc. out of St. Louis, Missouri. She's been on our show. She's been on Black Talk Radio Network many times. They have constructed a bill called Yulia, which eradicates police brutality in a 12-point system. It's definitely something to look at. Go to changeisonus.org. Changeisonus.org. As this cycles around in podcasts, I hope people go ahead and pick up the baton and decide to do something. Doing something is better than doing nothing. That's why I never talk about people who are like protesting in the streets. But I'm overwhelmed in many different ways because all the stuff going on.
Right.
And I don't mean to take up the time, but you know, I've been away a while, so.
Well, I want to read something to everybody that's listening. We're talking about equal rights. Do we need equal? Should our revolution be on with the equal rights or entrepreneurship? So to segue on into the program, let me just read the definition of equal rights. What is equal rights and entrepreneurship? The equal rights is based on civil rights, and they are the rights of individuals to receive equal treatment and to be free from unfair treatment or discrimination in a number of settings, including education, employment, housing, and more, and based on certain legal protected characteristics. That's in short. And entrepreneurship is the willingness to take risks and develop, organize, and manage a business venture in a competitive global marketplace that is constantly evolving. Entrepreneurs are pioneers, innovators, leaders, and inventors. Again, these are, in short, definitions, because we can talk all day about what an entrepreneur is, and we can talk all day about what civil rights are. But one thing we know for sure is we have never had civil rights in this country, and nor have we been treated equal, and we definitely do not have enough entrepreneurs. Actually, we have a lack of them, you know. So we, with this show, we intend to bring to the listening audience ways to sustain yourself in business. That's the basis of the show. And from there, I guess, CC, we can just go right on into the show.
Okay. Well, what I would like to add is, because as I was giving Scotty Reed, the CEO of Black Talk Radio Network, which is the station that we're on, as I was giving him the information, he reminded me that he stands on us needing to seek human rights, because clearly we are not being treated as humans. And the definition of human rights is a right that is believed to belong justifiably to every person. And it says a flagrant disregard for basic human rights. So, you know, if we're not being treated as humans, my goodness, yes. I mean, civil went out the door a long time ago when the homosexuals jumped on it, the one-legged man jumped on it, and everybody else, like Claude Anderson says, you know. So civil, I don't know who she is, but she, like, missed the boat or something. So we need to be checking out the human rights. But let's go ahead and let everyone know again. This is Black Talk Radio Network. You listen to BIB Radio with Brother Robert 11X and CC Harry. The dial-in number is area code 641-715-3660, participant code 549-032 and pound. So we do have some guests that are on the line. I think we have Brother Shabazz. We could let him in. If you all want to get in on the conversation, press the pound, star 6 and 1. Or if you're already in, press star 6 and 1. But are you ready to let him on, Robert?
Yes, yes. You should have Brother Ghazi also in the line up somewhere in there.
Everybody with a question mark. Let's see. There's Brother Ghazi. I see him. And I do see Brother Shabazz, and I see somebody else. I don't know who that is, but we'll let them on too. Everyone, just be patient, because the screen is lighting up all at once, so I will let everybody in. Just be really patient with me. Okay, let's see here. All right. Welcome to BIB Radio. Who do we have on the line?
Yes.
Yes.
Brother Shabazz?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Oh, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum.
I'm doing great, brother. Great. I'm glad to have you on. I'm sure CC's glad to have you on. And we're just waiting to get into this conversation.
All right.
Absolutely. So let's go ahead and let the last 46239 on. Welcome to Black Talk Radio. Who are we speaking with now?
This is Brother Ghazi.
Beautiful.
Hello, welcome, Brother Ghazi.
Assalamualaikum, big brother. Good to see you. Hear from you, man.
It's good to hear your voice as well. We, to the listening audience, I know we got two of maybe four, but these two so far are some very brilliant, well-studied black men, and I look forward to engaging with them in this setting tonight, CC. So you can go ahead.
Okay, so why don't we let the last person on, which is 1113, area code 210. Welcome to BIB Radio. Who are we speaking with?
Mario Stephenson here out of Toledo, Ohio.
All righty. Okay, so Brother Robert, why don't you go ahead and open with some dialogue?
Yes. So I guess I want to pose this question. I want to throw this question to Brother Rashid in reference to equal rights. And how do you view the equal rights of black men and women as it pertains to, and how does that relate to with entrepreneurship? And I guess let me rephrase that question. How does the treatment of black men and women in the United States today have a connection to entrepreneurship or the lack of entrepreneurship?
Oh, man. Excellent question. Let's go back to 1866, 1 year after emancipation, or 1 year after the 13th Amendment. U.S. Congress passed the law of the 8-hour workday. That's when the 8-hour workday came into being here in the United States, 1866. Also, that's the first year that the Caucasians here in the United States had what they called the National Labor Union first meeting. Out of that came the idea of, no doubt, the 8-hour workday for a wage. But also in that motto, it says that never put a tool in the black man or black woman's hand. A tool, meaning their working tools. This financial fight is real. And from that 1866 moment, again, the idea was to permanently unemploy and permanently keep black people into poverty. 1866 now. This is 2016.
And that's through employment?
Exactly, as well as business. Both. Both. And this is actually the actual foundation that have led to this great poverty that you see in 2016. Now, another thing, you're not going to separate business from physical confrontation. You're not going to do that. You're not going to separate business from physical confrontation. That's why if you study from 1866 to 2016, the Caucasians have always took physical actions against black wealth. Physical actions. Whereas that black people pray against the Caucasians. But the Caucasians take physical action against them. The two is not the same.
Oh, sir.
The two is not the same. Now, let me kind of just deviate a little bit from that subject and talk about a meat eater. I'm a meat eater, first of all. I'm a meat eater. But let me explain to you when I say what I mean by a meat eater. Every animal that a human being eats has to be slaughtered. If you eat a chicken and it dies itself and a human being consumes it, it will poison your system and kill you. The same thing with a cow, pig, or chicken, whatever. So, that's a natural inclination of a human being that you must be a fighter to feed yourself. You must be a fighter to feed yourself. And as you know, Brother Rob, when we met 20 years ago, I was slaughtering animals.
Yes, sir.
I still slaughter animals.
Yes, you do.
Now, when the human being loses that instinct to fight, to feed himself, him or herself, the human being is dead at that point. We, in too many cases, is controlled through our stomachs. We don't feed ourselves. So when it comes down to fighting and challenging others for our economical liability, we're very reluctant to fight for our own wealth. Now that has really caught up to us in 2016. So this subject will go on and on and on. But the main thing, as I said, you must be willing to fight for your own wealth and go at it. That's what we got to do. And this other subject about the police brutality, we have to talk about that out of the public's ear. And I believe that at that.
Yes, I understand. I definitely understand that.
Okay, well, Brother Shabazz, that was an earful of information as usual. We want to thank you again for being on the show. We have somebody in the last 4 is 5004. Let's not leave them hanging on. Brother Ghazi and the other brother, I know you're there. We're going to have you speak up in just a second. One moment. Welcome to BIB Radio. Who do we have on the line?
Yes, this is Brother Daoud Muhammad, otherwise known as Brother Wisdom to the Sea.
All right. Well, welcome. How are you?
Oh, fine. Excellent. Striving hard to make my word bond. I greet you all in the greetings of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Okay. Well, let's go to Brother Ghazi next. Brother Ghazi, what do you have to give to us tonight?
Okay, can you say it one more time?
What do you have for us tonight, Brother Ghazi?
Oh, well, you know, when I first seen the, like, the advertisement, entrepreneurship or equal rights, like, which one is the real revolution, you know? You know, several things came to my mind. And working with young people a lot, you know, it's something I always see. And to me, it's a disservice to our young people. Oftentimes, people who has an affinity towards an idea or a certain way of doing things, we tend to get the idea that everybody should join our part, what we like to do. So if you got people who are Muslims, they proselytize their faith and say, everybody should be Muslim. People who are Christians say, everybody should be in the church. Mormons, everybody should be here. I mean, everybody does that, you know, have the tendency to do that. Well, in our own community, what happens is, to me, the way I see that situation is that both equal rights and entrepreneurship has their place. They're relevant in their place. And I remember once a sister put a post up, it's been about a year ago, on Facebook, and she asked a question like, if the mother come in and get ready to feed the family, who do you feed first? Your children or your husband? Who do you feed first? And, you know, of course, you know, I looked at the response. You know, some people, you know, the husband is more important than the children. Some people say, well, the children are more important than the husband, you know. And as I read through the post, I looked at it mathematically. And in the mathematics, we have a place value system. And what happens is we out of our place. So, like, the father has a place. The children can't usurp the father's place. Neither can the father usurp the child's place. So in the Holy Quran, they say the sun can't outstrip the moon. The moon can't outstrip the sun. Even as everything in the universe has its place. And if everything get out of place, it causes confusion and commotion and disorder. So what happens socially in our community is we have disorder because we don't really know our place. So a lot of people, like I know Brother Robert, he's a businessman. I know Brother Rashid, a businessman. And I've learned a lot from Brother Robert over the years, and Brother Rashid, by way of Brother Robert, from the conversations I've had with Brother Rashid, you know, over the years. And I know that Brother Robert is a big promoter of do for self, do for self, do for self, do for self. And he's excellent at that. He's inspired me, you know, my own business development. I contribute a lot to Brother Robert and things I've learned from him over the years. But what I see is this right here. If we encourage, especially young people, now, I'm dealing strictly with young people, but everybody, if we encourage everybody to get in where they fit in,
yes,
we'll be more effective.
Yes.
Instead of
yes.
Telling everybody, like, look at the human body. Each organ has a function.
Yes.
Can you imagine if the lung telling every other organ to do what I do? Or the kidney telling every other organ to do what I do? If everybody functioned according to their own nature, their own constitution, their own inclinations, we'll be better as a community.
Yes.
Oftentimes, I've seen this, like, you know, great leaders, we look at the minister, Minister Farrakhan. He would call on something like, you know, he would say, okay, you know, it's all about the youth. And then you have everybody across the country talking about young people at that time. And then he would, you know, a few months later, another speaker can come out. He can say it's about business, and everybody be on business. Mm-hmm. And what happens is that has not been as effective as it could be because none of us is getting in where we fit in.
Yes.
And staying in our part what we like. So the Honorable Muhammad said it like this: if four to six of you who are like minds,
yes,
have a similar idea, y'all get together, pool y'all resources. But these are people who have like minds. They think mm-hmm. alike. They feel alike. They do things similar. Yes. Everybody else. So everybody not going to be an entrepreneur. That's just the reality of it. Everybody not made to be a business people. Some people gonna work for somebody else. That's just how. Some people gonna be employees. That's the reality of the world we live in. Everybody not gonna be an entrepreneur. Everybody not made to be an entrepreneur. Everybody not gonna be a teacher, a motivational speaker. Everybody not gonna be a carpenter. So I look at it like, if we oftentimes we really do our young people a disservice, because we tell everybody, like, if you look at the Black Lives Matter movement, what's going on, our idea of being a part of this movement is everybody go on the front line and put their fists up in the air and hands up, don't shoot, Black Lives Matter. That's madness. Because we're not studying our young people. We think everybody, in order to be effective, in order to be a soldier on the front line, everybody got to be doing the exact same thing. Nature defies, nothing in nature
yes
corresponds with that kind of thinking right there. It's so much diversity in this universe that we live in. Everything does the way God even constructed this thing. Everything does what it's supposed to do. And what happened is we're not studying our children or ourselves to figure out, what am I supposed to do? What's my role? So I like working with young people. So I like that. And I try to stay in my lane as much as I can. Of course, it crosses over. There are many other things that we can do. But I like that. I'm not the politician type. I'm not going to run for party or political office. That's not my lane. But there's somebody's lane. Somebody got to do that.
Yes.
I may not be the one to teach strictly on business, but I know that's definitely Brother Robin Lane, and he do that well, and that's something I believe he should do. And if I get a group of young people together, I would say, Brother Robin, come talk to these young people about business. Beautiful. So I'm saying all that to say, both of these things are irrelevant. And until we get to a point, I believe, that we all get in where we fit in, and we will never be as effective as we could be and should be, because I'm trying to do everything. I'm trying to be all things to all people, thus weakening my own effectiveness. Yes. Because there are certain things that I'm naturally inclined to do. If I get with people who think like that in that area like that, in nation building, we talk about nation building, yeah, you got so many components to building a nation, building a community, building a people. It's so many components, and it's enough components for everybody to get involved. I don't care what it is you want to do. Every technology, education, whatever it is, everybody can get involved. But we don't tend to get in where we fit in because we don't have a knowledge of self. We don't know ourselves. And I ain't talking about our history. I ain't talking about studying Imhotep and the pyramids. That's a part of the knowledge of self. I'm talking about personally. Your own purpose, your own goals, what you personally was born to do. What you like. Not what somebody told you to like. Not following, you know, having this sheep mentality, this herd mentality, because everybody else like it, I like it. I'm talking about literally what you personally like to do in terms of, you know, your vocation or your goals, your hobbies, your career, personally. So I think, you know, if we learn to get in where we fit in, I think we'll be more effective as a community. And if you look at every organization on the Nation of Islam, churches, everywhere, I mean, what you will see is people who are not getting in where they fit in. People trying to do everything else. I mean, the next big thing, the next big talk that come out, everybody want to do that. That's not natural.
Yeah.
It's not natural because everybody not made to do that. People who are made to do that should do that. But then there's so many other things with our nation that we should be a part of.
Excellent words, Brother Ghazi. Let's go to a little break and then we'll come back. We're 1 minute past the half hour mark, but it's okay. We'll come back. I believe that we may have the recording of Brother Robert showing a young person the way. If this is the right recording, this is going to be very powerful. So everyone hold on and bear with me, because I'm miming the board today. 1 minute.
Yes.
He is a large interracial.
About doing this, he says, well,
no, that is not it.
I got it for you, Sister Cece. This Scotty, I got it for you.
Thank you.
Okay. It's in the uploaded files, not in the recordings, in the uploaded files. I believe I did the right
one. Okay.
So give me a second. Let me go ahead and hit this up for us.
Sorry, people, I'm learning, and I'm not a writer.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay. Give up on my way.
Black Talk
Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Assalamu alaikum, this is Brother Robert 11X here at the Grand Slam Marketplace, 2505 Chambers Road. And I'm here with the young brother that I started working with yesterday to actually give him an experience in entrepreneurship. So I'm going to let y'all get a chance to meet the brother. Brothers, for the record, state your name.
My name is Arvis Pendleton.
Arvis Pendleton, how old are you, bro?
I'm 19.
Okay, now, I just want you to tell anybody who see this video, since yesterday till today, what have you learned?
I learned that.
And I know this on the spot, but I want you really just for a second, just go deep into your thinking about what you've learned about entrepreneurship. Did you come here to get a job, or did I hire you as an employee? Tell the people how we work together.
I came here to get a job, you know.
Okay.
And he hired me. And I learned that the hustle was in a different way, you know. And that it ain't even hard to get money out of for real.
What?
Like this. Because, hey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they say it ain't hard to get money out here. So, you know, so now, can you relate how we've been working together? Can you relate this to how people, maybe yourself, is in the streets getting illegal money? Do you see a parallel there?
Well, yeah, I do. I do see a parallel. Because it's like the same way, but it's way more easy. But you gotta watch your back for real.
And you ain't throwing rocks at the penitentiary,
yeah,
with selling crack,
none,
cocaine, heroin.
Yeah.
You're actually selling something that people need. You see how
people
much
need.
You sell merchandise here?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm... So, you know, and this is a better way of living, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Allow you to stay on these streets, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay. So now, Tuesday, I'm going to be taking the...
Okay.
Beautiful.
Yes. Very beautiful. That's only one of the videos. I think we have another one coming up. Thank you, Scotty, because I don't know where that is in the broadcast, but it's okay. So that will serve as our break, everyone. Since Brother Ghazi was talking about the youth, I decided to segue into that. Brother Robert, mm-hmm. did you want to give us some information on that experience with that young man? I believe you took him to Chicago.
Right. That was this past Tuesday. That same young man went by his house, met his mother. We only been working together for like 3 days prior. About 3 days prior to us going to Chicago. So it was a surprise to his mom. You know, I know she kind of had some reservation. She made it clear, this is my only son, this is my last son, rather. You know, he's 19 years old. So, you know, I called him, went by, picked him up 4 in the morning. We jumped on the road. It was his very first time ever leaving the city. He'd never been out of town, never been anywhere. He was the kind of guy this is what the police officer called himself, warning me. He said, "Hey, man, do you know this guy that you're working with?" I said, "No, I see him around up here at the flea market all the time." Now, keep in mind, there was another young guy last week that had got killed, and it was a twin brother, and they used to work up at the flea market as well. And so the guy that he was working for let him go. Twin came to me and said, "Brother Rob, you got some work for me?" And at the time, I told him, "No, not right now." And behind his death is what motivated me to never say no right now to another youth ever in my life.
Beautiful.
if I can't do something, if I find some kind of way to put them to work, is I got to do that. And that's what we all should do, you know.
Beautiful.
So this little young brother, when I took him to Chicago, and we got videos on Facebook under Robert 11X Minor or BIB Blacks in Business, I took him to the soap manufacturer that actually manufactures the laundry detergent that I sell. And it blew him away to see so much soap and to see how you can really get money out here without having to do anything crazy. So then we left from there. We loaded up quite a few buckets of soap into the rental van that we had. We went to a carpet place. We went to this. I mean, they had really nice carpets. That's on the video as well. That's on the Facebook as well. And then also I took them to another wholesaler, and they had general merchandise. And he went walking around, and he was like I was when I first went to Magic, Brother Rashid. I was all excited, and it was like they knew it was my first trip to the Magic show in Vegas. Well, the owner of the wholesale store knew that this guy was young, but he was a little apprehensive because he got the long locks, dreads, or whatever in his head. And he's a very dark-skinned young brother. So these, you know, everything's real out here. They look at our dark-skinned brother as a threat, you see. And so I told the owner, I said, yeah, this is one of my young brothers that I'm working with. Now, the owner of these particular places, I met most of them through Las Vegas at the ASD trade show, Brother Shabazz. So they remember the shirt I wore, BIB Blacks in Business, because every vendor I went to asked me, what is BIB Blacks in Business? And I told them we work with young youth to actually teach them to become entrepreneurs. So when they saw this young brother with me, you know, they were really trying to make him see just how this thing is done. And it was more learning and teaching on their part and learning on his part, and it was like him going to school. So this, now we got back. When we got back from Chicago, again, we don't employ, we empower. So that's my motto. So when I got back, I said, now I got to do something for this little brother to make him have a sense of ownership. So I sell T-shirts. So what I did was I counted up the inventory. I told him, I said, look, brother, I pay X amount of dollars per dozen on these T-shirts. Hang these T-shirts up on this rack. I'll show you how you display them. And every T-shirt you sell, you give me $2 out of that, and you keep the rest for yourself. Yes. And then what you have to do is, when you run out of a particular style, then you let me know. You pay for that. This is what it costs. And then I'll go get the T-shirts. I say, now, in two weeks, at the very most, I'll give you 3 weeks, you need to get a tax ID number, and I'll show you how to do that. So I'm walking this little young brother right into entrepreneurship. And this is the thing that I know for him, as I expressed to him today. I say, brother, very few people will do this for you the way that it's being done. Don't take it for granted.
Yes, right. That's right.
Very few people. I shared with him my experience personally that I had with this brother that's on the phone right now. And I took that brother for granted. For 3 years, we were out of communication because of a foolish thing that I'd done. So as I expressed to this little brother, I said, you don't want to lose people who really want to see you win.
Beautiful.
Not believing that this is real.
Beautiful.
So this thing is what we should be doing. And Brother Ghazi, you're 100% right. No matter whatever that you in, what expertise that you have, every one of us that are doing something in the community need to grab a young person up out of the community, two or three, as many as willing to come, and teach them that thing that we do best. If it's public speaking, if it's building houses, whatever it is, we need to be grabbing our youth by the hand and investing in them with our, not just with our lip piece, with our money.
Yes.
investing in them. You see, because once you create, do something like that for a young person, they'll stick with you for life.
Yes, yes.
Because nobody has done, I bet everybody on this phone right now, well, I know you've had that kind of experience, Brother Rashid, and I definitely have had it, and Brother Ghazi, you've had it, but not very many people actually literally take our young people and really throw themselves into their lives, because a lot of them are afraid of our young people.
Yes, yes.
When I met that little young brother, his pants were sagging.
Mm-hmm.
He was in a little white tee. You know, he looked like he was trouble. And then the police officer came the same way and said the same thing. I said, I don't see him the way you see him.
Yes, yes.
I see him like I used to be.
Yes.
You know, we didn't sag our pants back in the day, but wilding out in the streets, drinking, smoking, I used to do all that stuff.
Yes.
So how I'm going to turn my eye towards these young brothers today when I know how wild and ignorant I used to be?
That's right. Yes, sir.
They just need somebody that can give them the correct information and then walk them through this thing.
That's correct, brother.
That's all they need.
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, that's all that I have for that. Stay tuned, because I want people to listen, that's listening to this, to come down to the Grand Slam Marketplace, 2505 Chambers Road, and buy some T-shirts from this little brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Buy some T-shirts from this little brother, because he needs to see the reward of doing what is good in the community.
Yeah.
He's not selling any drugs. Actually, we had a conversation on the way up to Chicago, and I told him, I said, "Little brother, I don't drink, I don't smoke weed, I don't have conversations about sex, none of that. That's not for, if I, all that would be personal and wouldn't be discussed no damn way. The only thing we need to talk about is being a good father to our children with the youth. Talk about buying homes and creating cash flow. You know, being morally correct. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, this thing can be changed if we're all willing. Come up to that marketplace, buy some T-shirts from the little brother. Those that are listening to this, you may not like me. That's okay. But get past that and support that little brother.
Yes.
Support the little brother. And we got some more little brothers that's coming up under BIB in the marketplace. We got some other things that we're going to do. Now, I had a GoFundMe page. I wanted to take some young people to Las Vegas. And that GoFundMe page, Brother Lakem and a couple of other brothers and a couple of sisters that I know, we raised only $50. It was a little disappointing, but not to the point that it's going to stop my drive to reach these young brothers. So as a result, I just started from where I am. That's why I tell people, they say, well, how you start? I say, start from where you at.
That's right. Sure.
You know, don't worry about having the big loans coming to try to go into business. You don't need that, because if you ain't got enough in you to get it going with what you got, then if you get a lump sum of money, you may wind up messing that up any damn way.
That's correct.
So start from where you at, you know, and build it from where you at. And you won't even need a loan. The loan I got was $70.
Yes, sir.
That was in 1994. But I had more drive, more ambition, more determination, more desire than I had money. And that was over 22 years ago.
Yes, sir.
And I haven't clocked in on a time clock since then. And I told myself I wouldn't.
Beautiful.
And I have it. So, you know, I know we got some other callers on the line, CC, so let's chime in. If there's anything, any other people that's on the line that's listening right now, if you want to say something, go ahead and get it in while you can.
Yes. Let's go to the person 1113. Is that you, area code 210?
Yes, this is Mario Stephan.
Okay, Brother Mario, you have something you want to say?
Yeah, basically, I just wanted to chime in on the equal rights versus entrepreneurship. I really believe it should be more of human rights versus economic parity, which one first, because it's imperative that we do both. The reason I say human rights as opposed to civil rights is, one, civil rights basically died in 72 with, you know, when Claude Anderson wrote the first affirmative action that was written into law, which was changed because of the Philadelphia plan to include, you know, gays and handicaps and everyone else. So that was basically the death of civil rights at that point. And that brings the point of equal rights. You know, equality is an ambiguous term that has a double meaning. One is basically a black interpretation, the other is a white interpretation. And the affirmative action basically was the white interpretation of equality, which is a disbursement limiting who gets what. On our plateau, we need to be fighting for human rights, not equal rights. And as far as you know, the brother that was on there and he was saying going back to 1866, I like to turn to economics and go back to like 1865, just a year earlier, because if we remember, Lincoln wanted to teach the slaves about money, credit, and business, and five weeks later he was assassinated.
Yes.
And if you look at King toward the end of his era in civil rights, he turned to economics and he was assassinated.
Yes.
When I say economic parity, I'm speaking of us needing to build a system that includes the consumption, production, distribution, and transfer of wealth.
Yes.
It has to be generational. Like the other brother was saying earlier, everybody's not cut to be an entrepreneur. That's why entrepreneurship is limited. Economics and an economic parity and economic system is an inclusive system that allows, we have consumers. It allows for the consumption. Some aren't going to do nothing, ever be a consumer. We got to face that reality.
Yes.
We deal with the production. Some people are always just going to want to work for somebody else. Well, we need to own the plant and give them the job so they can do the work producing what needs to be consumed.
Yes, sir.
We have opportunity to create a distribution system unlike any other anywhere in the country or in the world, but we fail to utilize resources within our own community. We underutilize them, ignore them. We have businesses and entities that we can use as distribution channels that become solely and completely controlled and owned by us, and determination of what actually goes in and through them and how it's done. At that point, that allows us the foothold to begin to say, how are we going to deal with our education? How are we going to deal with our children? And at the same time, we can take the being able to begin transferring that with the appropriate education, application, and perpetuation of that system. You know, in 1869, when Howard University was established, there were three federal mandates that you could not teach to black people.
Yes.
You couldn't teach them economics.
Yes.
Because they don't want you to have a system to be able to maintain and control your own community. You couldn't teach them the art of war, because then they could learn how to defend their own community.
Beautiful.
And you couldn't teach them the science of business, because then they would be able to compete and control your economics. They'd be able to take a portion of what you had. You know, so and my thing is that, you know, when we talk about equality, we got to realize two things. One is 500-year lead. How in the hell is somebody going to have a 500-year lead and we're going to catch up to them?
Yes, sir.
That's right.
You know, what you going to put in place to counteract that?
Yes, you got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Well, you know what? We don't even realize what our bootstraps are. Our bootstraps, right. As the brother was talking earlier, our bootstraps are the Nation of Islam and our churches. But what's the propaganda against our churches today? It's about black preachers having mega money, buying jets and whatever. Yes. And instead of us tearing them down, we need to be at their doorstep saying, listen, brother, we got an issue in our community. You have a responsibility to begin answering that. This is how you answer that. You need to start an education program for our youth, or you need to start an entrepreneur program for our youth, or you need to put back in some houses in the community for the homeless in our community. Or whatever. But we ain't going to them saying nothing to them, just like President Obama. Ain't no Negro went up to him and told him what we need.
Yes.
Ain't no group of Negroes went up to him and told him what we need. So what he supposed to give us?
Yes.
The gays know what they want when they go to the door.
Yes.
The Hispanics know what they want when they go to the door.
Yes.
We don't even know what we want, or we don't even agree on what we want, so how can anybody hand us anything?
Well, but what do you think about this, brother? As far as the churches are concerned, we pretty much see them operating in the same manner. You know, it's all this money coming in and not being dispersed back into the community. And from what I understand, when they have taken that oath of the 501c3, that causes a problem for the rest of our community getting what they need. What do you know about that?
Well, I'll just say two things on that. When I grew up, I watched my grandmother, my great-grandmother, my great-aunts, my great-great-aunts. I watched all of them giving money to all these white preachers. I watched these white preachers build universities. I watched them buy jets. I watched them live in mansions. I watched them have estates. I never heard any people about it.
Yes.
Suddenly, when the black preachers have learned how to balance that field and become as wealthy as the white preachers, all of a sudden we got 501c3 issues, all of a sudden we got wealth disparity issues, all we got distribution issues, we got all of this stuff. Black people have to learn to stop listening to everybody else and think for themselves. It's just like with our kids.
Yeah.
You know, everybody wants to tell us, hey, your kids don't need to stop sagging their pants. Well, who the hell is you to tell my kid what he needs to do when you've been telling his folk parents what to do for the last 500 years and that shit ain't worked? Our children, if our children are doing what we're supposed to be doing. Because we have three generations of black folks that failed to build anything for the next generation. We have our children out here dying and killing each other because they're saying, I'm not going to be kowtowing, kissing ass, and Uncle Tomming to the white man for my living. I'm going to take what the fuck I want, and I'm going to let the rest be for whoever can get it. You know, we got to stop the propaganda against us and start thinking for ourselves and realizing, again, like I say with the churches, there ain't no reason if they got 10,000 members in that church, and the church ain't giving back to the community, then you got 10,000 members that ain't done shit, ain't said nothing, ain't about nothing, ain't got nothing on their mind. Somebody need to put something in their mind, and they then can go to the board. They then can go to the pastor. Listen, this is our community. Our charity starts at home, so they got to start in their little community first. This is what we need in our community. You can help us get that by doing A, B, or C.
You know, and if they don't really do something really simple at the church, at the mosque, at the synagogue, when these black leaders and preachers and pastors and imams and ministers really understand the dynamics of what's going on in our community and how the economics play a major part of it, it's really not that complicated to turn this thing around if every Sunday at these meeting places that we meet for worship, that you at least take 10 minutes out of your worship service and announce the black-owned business owners of your church, mosque, whatever, and then tell the congregation to support it, bring the facts, the actual numbers, how many times the black dollar circulate in the community, share that with the congregation, and then have an agenda to begin to support the black business owners as well as teach, as you said, brother, entrepreneurship in these institutions. Now, there should be a consequence, in my opinion, to all these particular leaders that are failing to do so when all the time that you are receiving the financial support of a community, but yet you living good, and there are people in that church that are not, or that mosque, or that synagogue, or that temple that are not living good. So there should be a consequence, you know, to all these so-called leaders for not doing just what I was suggesting.
There should be, the better word than consequence should be accountability.
Exactly.
Because even with our black businesses, and I know this because for 4 years, I tried to get the blacks that were involved in creating their own hair care products to learn how to take over and control that industry by becoming a collective and not individuals. What I found was, one, they felt no responsibility to give back. They felt obligated to handle their family. It was about what they put in their pocket and how they feed their family. There was no accountability in there whatsoever. There was competition rather than creativity. They wanted to compete with each other rather than create something that everybody can have a piece of. There's, you look at the hair, the natural hair care industry, and you look at black hair, something that only we buy.
Yes.
No other race buys our shit. We buy this. We propel that industry. The two top magazines in that industry are both Korean. One is written in all Korean, mm-hmm. and the other is written in half Korean.
Mm-hmm.
And that, those are products that only we buy.
Mm.
Okay, brothers, let's go to a commercial again really quick. I'm so sorry to interrupt the deep conversation, but we've got to pay the bills here. Everyone, you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network. Our show is called BIB Radio. We are on every Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you'd like to dial in and join the conversation, our number is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032 pound. If you would like to be put in queue to talk to us about this very heated situation that we're going through right now, that would be great. Just join us. Dial in, press the star 6, the number 1, and pound, and we'd be happy to put you in queue. But you're listening to BIB Radio on the Black Talk Radio Network.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio, new black media for the new millennium.
All right, everybody, we're back. You are listening to BIB Radio. Okay, so let's we have another caller. Let's see. Area code 210, last 41113. Did you want to speak?
I was just speaking, my sister. This is Mario Stephens.
Oh, that was you. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you don't get to speak again, so hold on.
Uh-oh, you can take my lollipop.
No, you can speak again. We got to get everybody. Hold on just a second. So we have another person who is, oh, it was a 618. The 618. 5004?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. I'm very excited. From listening to everyone, it shows that we're on the right track.
Yes.
And that is something that is long overdue. I've always said that we've always had a social agenda, but we never really had a. Well, we did have an economic agenda a long time ago, but somehow I got kind of sidetracked. But now we're coming back on track now, on time, and I think that's what we. I really am happy to be here to be able to hear what you're saying. We need. I'm very happy to be able to try to do my best to be a participant, as the brother said, to get in and fit in the best you can, you know.
Yes.
And that's a wonderful thing. Myself, I'm a researcher. I'm on a solar energy company. I'm also a radio talk show host myself. I've been into this thing for almost 30 years now. And there's a lot of great things going. I kind of thought about that. I wish that we could do some things like maybe come together, pull our little pennies and nickels together and support the economic blueprint. But with that, locally, just in the St. Louis area, we could buy farmland and buy land and build our own communities or just build a whole entire new sustainable community. We have so many new forces that are working against us. It's moving at a different pace. One of the things that I looked at was that because of technology, the need for human labor is no longer becoming needed as time goes on. And so because of that, I think that we need to own the businesses that create the jobs. But at the same time, we need to educate our businesses and put them in a position that we can actually compete with other businesses that would be in our community. But I think separation is the key. We met the most humble municipal park town said that we need to separate. And I think that's something that we need to start seriously looking at now.
I'm sorry, brother. Can you remind us of your name again?
My name is Daoud Muhammad. I'm known as Brother Wisdom to See. I am the researcher and solar energy engineer. I'm a consultant and engineer. And we have looked at some new approaches about what we could do, what we can own. For example, we can own our own electric company, our own utility company. I'll give you an example. We're working on a project right now where in St. Louis County and in the area over in Illinois. We're working on developing our own solar streetlight district. We are going through a petition through the state to form our own solar district. And then we just recently learned that we can actually own our own electric utility district. Like Ameren is similar to a utility district. We can own our own and be able to make electricity affordable to our people in our community. We found that we could be able to create a Wi-Fi hub. That means that we could put an antenna on our solar street lights and have it where our people in our community can have free access to the internet. We just have a whole list of things that we're looking at, but with farming, we even went to the point of creating an solar aquaponic center down at Yours Market. That was some time ago, where we started with 8,000 fish. And then we have 10,000 fish. And so we're really looking at all kinds of things to be able to create jobs and to feed ourselves. And we believe that that model, where the money that we're giving to our oppressor to oppress us, and even through our taxation, we've been extortionists, we can be able to get back that money and put it in places where we know they can benefit us as a community and as a nation. So, that's where we're at right now.
Okay, well, I don't know how you're connected with us, but if you're not connected with us, please do, because we have some information that we would like to also share with you offline, of course, because as we are building these things, everything doesn't need to be, you know. So if you can connect with us later on, we would love to have a conversation, especially if you are in St. Louis. We could definitely have a good conversation.
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate being able to be a part of that. But I think the youth is the key, and I pray that we never get off that course. I thank you for your time for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay. Beautiful. Well, boy, just powerful words coming from everyone on the station right now. I mean, this is excellent.
Let me say something, CC, real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
Uh, it doesn't take a lot of people to actually make this thing happen. Okay. And what the brother was saying with the electricity and, you know, the aquaponics and the solar. Okay, I just recently put a figure up of $1 million deal on. They got plenty of school buildings across the country, people. Plenty of them for sale. And not all of them are $1 million. Some of them are a whole lot cheaper than $1 million. But let's just say we got $1 million deal. Now, the mortgage note for a 20-year $1 million deal was only $5,700. So I used six people. I said, what if six people came together and we went and dealt with that with whoever has the building, the city of St. Louis or whatever, and we created this note on this. I mean, they create a note. We pay the note off. For 20 years, $1 million deal will only cost each individual, if it's six people, no more than $1,000 to make that mortgage happen. Now, my point is we're not looking at the simplistic side. I think when a thing is so simple, it's missed most of the time.
Yes.
We're taught to accept the most complicated in every deal that we do, because that's how we were taught. So you need an agent to go buy real estate. Wrong. That's wrong.
That's right.
There's an agent for everything that you want to do. And those are usually the people that's going to block you from getting the correct information on how to do it, because everybody got to get paid.
That's a fact.
Everybody got it. So what we have to do is look at real simple mathematical equations. See, this is what I say. This is what the brother Rashid said, taught me this. When you calculate it, when it's mathematical, there's no debating that.
Yes.
There's no debating mathematics. So the numbers don't lie. Now, six of us, just six people, there's brothers in this city that I know that's got millions of dollars at their fingertips, rappers, entertainers, drug dealers, got millions of dollars, but ain't doing nothing with it.
Yes.
Now, I can create a scenario that makes all the sense in the world. Some of these brothers say they with the struggle thing, they with trying to make it better. But now, that's a very simple scenario that a school building can house on a minimum. You could turn that into 20 living spaces on a minimum. You could turn that into a restaurant because it's got a cafeteria. You could hold concerts because you got an auditorium. You got a gymnasium. You could put on local basketball events, Little League events. You got a football field. You can host a Little League football. You have so much opportunity with these old buildings, but we're not moving on them. So what we have to do is organize in small groups. You get too many of us together, you're not going to get nothing done.
Yes, yes. That's correct.
So in essence, we have to create our own equal rights. I mean, to bring it back around full circle. That's the only way this is going to happen, is if we open our eyes and stop being afraid of the most simplistic thing to do, which is create a life for one another. Yes. And I'll add another one, because this is what I always observe, and I don't, it's like some kind of thing, it's like the root, some kind of jealousy, like, you know, we don't want to see each other get ahead. It's beyond crabs in a barrel, but, you know, I think I said this before, we see so many black directories, you know, so many black directories. Well, why not get on board with another black directory that's already started and help them build theirs? Is it because you feel like you need to have your name out there and you need to be on stage? I mean, that's a psychological problem, and you need to get help for that, because actually we need to just build together. Group economics is the only way we're going to get ahead. And I think, Robert, when you were talking about those schools before, we talked about the schools even being like a marketplace, like a flea market inside there. Everybody could have their own store within a classroom. Like you said, there's so many things that we could do with that, but we just sitting there driving past the school building talking about we used to go there in the fifth grade, and it's like, okay, well, what do we do now?
Right.
Oh, man, it's beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, can I say some of that?
Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I was listening to you, Brother Robert. You know, it ain't that if we get too many of us together, we don't get nothing accomplished. If we get too many people that don't fit in with what we're trying to do, we don't get nothing accomplished. You know, we get too many people that don't think on that level in the real way. Because we think because you're black, that's sufficient.
Right.
In truth, it ain't sufficient. I mean, you got to think on that level to be a part of that. That's why I really look into when I'm like Muhammad say six to eight like minds, people that think like that. Because normally you get people who think like that, they already doing something like that. And what happens is this right here, we get six to eight like mouths. See, people who talk the same, but not necessarily think the same, you know, and they like worlds apart. You know, people who think like that, you would see them already doing something. They got to come up with it. It's some of their lifestyle, something they already doing right now. And I remember a brother, like a few years ago, brother in Arizona. You know, like, he kept saying, you know, all we got to do, all we got to do, all we got to do, all we got to do. And I looked at the brother. I said, man, you know, I gave him an example with this facility we had up here. It was called the Debris House. So myself and another brother, a Latino brother, Brother Tyler up here, he and I got together. We both came up out the joint, and we both had an affinity for helping brothers coming up out of prison. We wanted to give them a helping hand, so to speak, when it's so many doors shut on them in society. So, you know, we got together, and we take our own money out of our own pocket. You know, we worked overtime, and we bought beds. We bought clothes. We went to thrift stores, yard sales, Craigslist. Rented the houses ourselves from our own pocket and stuff like that. And we did it. And once people seen something, the help that started coming blew our mind. It was beyond our wild imagination. Now, had we just sat there and said, man, you know, we got to do this and try to get people, we just went and did it, man. It was small. We went and did it. But people started coming with us, with helping us with food, clothes, donations, money, and everything. And I tell people, you know, it's just like somebody sitting in a car stop on the middle of not Crazy King's house. You can sit in that damn car all day long and you can wait on somebody to help you. Ain't nobody, people gonna ride past you, go around you, and everything. But you get out that car and start pushing it.
Yes.
You push it, see, damn. He's trying to do something. I mean, I can see it with my eyes. It ain't theory no more. It ain't an idea or nothing like that. So sometimes if we just like do something small, I mean, you'd be surprised the kind of help that will come from people of all colors. Because people who helped us, it wasn't just black people or Mexican people. It was white people coming. It was Jewish people coming who just say, damn, y'all doing this? A Christian lady came to, and he and I are Muslims. And it's a Christian lady who came. She said, man, y'all got y'all pocket our food. And we don't eat slop and crap and stuff like that. We just thought, but from my vantage point, the best foods. You know, we didn't want to buy GMO food. We didn't want to buy processed food. So the sister say, look, man, I work with a food bank that gives all kind of vegetables, fruits, and bread and stuff like that. And she would have a truck, Christian lady, have a truck come to the debris house every Thursday and pack the house out. All that y'all want to get, we ain't getting no hog. You know, that's just how we got out. With no hog coming on there. So they want some hog, they had to go somewhere else. But all the turkey and the chicken and the fish, sister gave us all that stuff. I mean, the idea is, though, you know, if we just do something, though, small, you know, rather than keep saying, all we have to do, all we have to do, I mean, like a small business, and what happens is, get people to think like that. There are people out there that think like that. We think we need a whole lot of people. That brother and I, we didn't go get a million people. It was just he and I, in truth. And I got eight children at home. That brother got seven children at home. So we ain't got a lot of money. I mean, shit, we ain't millionaires and nothing like that, but we pulled our little nickels and dimes, and we say, look, man, just two of us, we're going to do this. And I seen something, a valuable lesson that they really taught me, just do it. But, Rob, you always taught me that. You always say, just do it. I got that from you. You say, man, just do it. Don't even talk about it, just do it. And when we...
Brother Gazi, you're coming out a little bit. Are you moving around? Brother Gavin.
You know, we could have gave a public speak to, we could have gave a motivation talk to them.
Brother Gavi, your phone's cutting
out.
With
the day-to-day operations, but they did help with the money, they donated and stuff like that.
Okay. All right. I think we got the message. He's saying, if we get out and we just start doing something with like-minded people, people will see with their eyes that we are taking action, and they're privy to donate and give when they see you taking some action. So that's a very good message, and I think it's true. I think that's a true message. What do you think, Brother Shabazz?
Matter of fact, it's excellent, and I'd just like to refer Robert back to his first building. The agreement was to have $2,500, but he had less than that, and I told him, handle that like he handled his clothes, and he went on ahead and executed the idea. So what God has said is completely correct. We've got to do what we need to do, keep moving forward, keep making contact with each other, and I'm looking forward to seeing all of y'all in Las Vegas.
Yes, sir.
Love you. I love y'all. See, this is fantastic. Really, I mean it. It's fantastic. I love it. Love it.
Yeah, we definitely gotta get Brother Gazi and CC to Las Vegas.
Hey man, it's a must. It's a must.
I said the train show, Brother Gazi.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, sir.
Hold on, when's the next train show? When's the next show?
It's a must.
Wait, let me say something to you all. Something that I noticed with the GoFundMe. You know, I've been successful in, you know, the last GoFundMe that I had.
Beautiful.
But with the GoFundMe account, we got to start early. Like, for instance, Brother Robert, he would like to take youth to Las Vegas. So the campaign for the youth to Las Vegas starts way before that trip. So as we campaign, as we push, as we talk to other people, we should make sure that people know that that is what we stand for, so that we can make sure as they see us doing, like Brother Gazi said, they will be privy to give to us. Because it is our youth that we need to pour into, because that is the next generation. That is who they are killing. That is who they are after. So we need to make sure that even if those children are not from our womb, we are reaching out to the best of our ability to grab them up and support them. No, we're not rich, but alone we're not rich, but together we are zillionaires.
That's a fact.
So the next trade show that's coming up will be a really, really, really huge show. They only have it once a year. It's in the electronic technology industry. It's called the Consumer Electronics Show, abbreviated as the CES Show. And
that's
this is going to be around the first week of January. And for those electronic or technology enthusiasts, young people, this will be the ideal show for them. If they build robots, if they deal with computers, if they anything electronic wise or technology wise, this is the show to attend. So we're going to start the campaign again. It's www.gofundme/youth to Las Vegas. I think it's .com, but we're going to repost it on BIB Radio, BIB Blacks in Business, BIB News, as well as Robert 11X Minor on Facebook. I'm going to repost it. CC, repost it in Black Radio Station or whatever it's called. You know what it's called. Say, what's it called, CC? Like, you know, I always get that twisted up.
Black radio stations and programs.
I'm in trouble. Right, Gazi, pump it up, brother. Let's get some youth to Las Vegas. You know, for the other brothers that was on the show, help us to help our young people. I mean, if we take six yes. young people to Las Vegas, we're looking at a budget of about $6,000 because we want to give them a very good experience. Now, anybody that travels to Vegas know that $1,000 a person to Las Vegas is very inexpensive. But yes. I know what to do with them. We're going to Uber everywhere we want to go.
Yes.
We're going to eat good, and we're going to
yes.
go to the show. To the CES show, and
Cece is learning to the best of her ability the shortest shortcut in becoming a travel agent, so she can put these trips together for everybody. So we will definitely need to put those things together. But you know what? I like the conversation that we're having because it is very relevant to the topic, you know, civil
yes.
rights, human rights,
yes.
entrepreneurship. It's all relevant because it all cycles back around to us needing to take care of each other, okay?
That's right.
Now we see so much. We see so much. We look at our people. I remember listening to a sister in the Israelite YouTube that I watched. You know, she said she took her children to Detroit, and they were from Detroit, but her children didn't grow up there. They grew up rurally. And for her to have to show her children what we look like, it was just a travesty. And mm-hmm. I can definitely relate to that because it's like, my goodness, how am I right here and they're right here? I mean, mm-hmm. we are the same, but we're in two different places. So we got to capture those youth that are in that other place and show them something else, because if we don't do that, what is the alternative? It's either
yes.
death or jail, okay?
Yes.
So either one of the, we don't want them in that, so we have to make sure that we do what we can where we are. Like Brother Robert took the young guy to Chicago.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I'm sure he can turn that into something, like maybe weekly he has
yes.
another one. And then
yes.
another one, and then they're building business together. Those ones that he's bringing up. I mean, there's so many things that we can do. But when you're sitting back and you're worried about these meaningless things that the news projects at you, you know, you're not able to focus where you need to focus. So we need to just really get together with those like-minded people and do what we need to do. Everybody has some good in them. A skill in them that they can help with this whole project with the youth. So we need to definitely get that going.
Yeah, no doubt. And every Monday, that is the plan, CC. You spoke it, and that definitely is the plan. We plan on taking some young person every Monday. And the reason why we can only take one is because the van that we rent is only a two-seater. So I mean, that kind of limits, but it makes it even better for me because I can focus on that individual. The ride up is a good ride because now I can talk about the, you know, the upbringing, the domestic life. You know, like me and the young man, we had a long time to just get very personal, and the young man told me he never met his father.
Yeah,
you know, it's things like that that really touched me. I mean, it really touched me as a man to hear this young brother say he never met his father. His father is dead, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was powerful to me, you
yeah.
know. So it kind of drove me to really say, man, I gotta be accountable with this young brother, you see. So, and it also inspired me because I said, this is just one story out of a multitude of stories.
That's right. That's right.
So next week, we want to take somebody else. I got a 9-year-old. This little brother sells candy. 9 years old. His pitch is so polished for a 9-year-old. I said, brother, who you up here with? I just met him yesterday. I said, who you up here with? He said, well, my father, he's in the car. I said, come on, little brother, you gotta let me meet your father.
Mm-hmm.
And he took me to his dad. I said, hey, brother, I got to shake your hand.
Yes.
He said, why, what's up, bro? I said, brother, this little brother here at 9 years old, his delivery on selling this candy was so, I mean, on point.
Yes.
That little guy going places. So I told him, I said, look, brother, it would be an honor for me to work with you mm-hmm. and your son to help your son. I told him I got 22 years in doing what I do, and I've been doing this, and I know how to do it. I said I want to give your 9-year-old a position down here, a spot where he can sell his candy, and I can mentor him further along in entrepreneurship. And we exchanged numbers. He said, "Brother, I really thank you, because I really want my son to do well." I said, "Man, just bring him on." I said, "Most times with children, it's the parents that get in the way of the development."
Oh, no doubt.
You see, and that's what it is. I've been down this road too many times, and when I see a young person like that 9-year-old, because I've had three young people like that 9-year-old in my 22 years of being an entrepreneur. And one of them was so, when I met him, he was already on it, just like this 9-year-old. But this other one, this one little guy was on it. He had candy machines already in certain beauty salons.
Beautiful.
And
beautiful.
He, not somebody else really working with him, he did this on his own. Now this how sharp this. So I started working with this little guy, and by 11 years old, he had his own booth. Me and the owner of Friesen's Flea Market, Jack Friesen, I went to him. I said, "Mr. Friesen, please work with me on this little guy. He needs his own booth. I'm gonna set him up, but he needs his own booth." That little guy at 11 years old was the youngest person in Friesen's Flea Market to ever have his own booth. We got some bright young people out here. We just got to get them. We got to get to them, and we got to stick with them. You know,
okay.
So that's the plan, though, what you said, CC. So Monday, I don't know if it's going to be that little guy because he's in school, but I'm going to definitely touch bases with his father tomorrow. But it would be a blessing if we could do that one with him.
Oh, let me
tell you.
There. You got a lot of little guys to choose from. There's a zillion of them that definitely need something. So let's go ahead and take another break. We're doing really good here. Let's take another break, and we'll come back after these messages. You're listening to BIB Radio on the Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio, new black media for the new millennium.
We declare our rank on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
Mm. Beautiful.
Yes.
Oh,
all right,
man.
I think that's very, very relevant, very relevant. Okay, everyone, you are listening to BIB Radio on the Black Talk Radio Network. Our phone number, if you'd like to dial in and dialogue with us, is area code 641-715-3660, participant code 549032, pound. If you would like to be in queue, press *6 and the number 1. We're having great conversation about our economics. Now, we still have the brother 6239, and we have the brother 1113 on the line. If you all want to chime in, go ahead at any time. This is our network. It's not just our network, but it's our network. So go ahead and talk to us if you like to.
Well, you know, if possible, I'll let you just say something briefly, you know, just to add on to what Brother Rob was talking about. For the young people, you know, like a lot of young people, I'm gonna give you an example. You know, so I go into the schools up there, and we have like life skill programs that we bring to the schools. And last week, I had a group of young people who were between the age of 13 and 15 years old, and most half of them was black and Latino, and the majority is black and Latino children. There was a few, you know, white children who from lower socioeconomic environments. And this session here, we were talking about family and, like, the value of family. And we read a quote that talks about how family is a source of inspiration and encouragement and things like that, right? And these young people looked at me as I read that quote. They looked at me like, "Hey, what family you live in?" And so, I mean, so I seen the way they was looking. So I just had to put the paper down. I say, and I asked the question. I say, "Do y'all believe this? Is this not true?" And I mean, I was blown away, truthfully.
Yeah.
I mean, unanimous. I mean, 100%. All of these young people said, black, Latino, and white, they said that they don't have parents to tell them, "I love you."
Yes.
They said that one little girl told me, she said, "The only time my mama said she loved me is when she drunk or high." Oh, She just straight out. And then one little black girl said, "My mother," she said, "every time I come and try to give her a hug, she pushed me off and say, 'I ain't with all that mushy shit.'" That's what my mama said that to her. Yeah. She's 13 years old. Yeah. Now, I'm looking at these young people, and I'm like, damn. I'm thinking to myself, like, they have no compassion.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at these young girls, I'm like, y'all going to be mothers and wives one day. What are y'all going to teach y'all children? What's y'all going to pass on to y'all children? So in addition to teaching them like certain things we want to do with business and the value of education and spirituality, sometimes a simple hug and that human compassion and that teach them how to socialize and interact with other human beings, it go a long way.
Yes.
You know, so a lot of them young brothers who Brother Robert take up under his wing, I know he more than just a business advisor, he's like a big brother, like a father figure to some of them cats. And like a lot of them is missing that. So when I seen that, it just blew my, and I mean, like my heart goes out. So I'm like, damn, it makes me understand why the generation is so cold.
Right.
They real cold because they never, even their mom at home, and they on drugs or whatever, even if they're not on drugs, a lot of them, and I was trying to argue for the parents. Being a father myself, I was trying to argue for the parents, and I say, well, you know, some parents, they parents will tell them that. So it's like a cycle, you know, and like, hurt people, so to speak. And, you know, but one of the girls looked at me, she said, "But Mr. Muhammad, is it our fault that they parents did them to that? Now we got to suffer because of what they went through. They didn't learn it, and now they're putting it on us." And I'm looking at them, and I mean, like, with tears in their eyes. They ain't tearing up, telling their stories about how they don't have. I mean, it was unanimous. That whole room, and I was blown away. I'm just blown away. So and I'm just saying it to say, we can teach about business and things like that, but if we don't deal with another side that's a human factor, what's going to happen is we're going to have people that know how to make money but don't have no damn compassion.
Yes.
People who know how to do public speaking but don't have no damn compassion for one another. You know, therefore they desensitized. I know how to make money, I can go build a business, I can buy real estate, but damn it, somebody gets shot down, I don't feel that because I have no human compassion.
Yes.
I don't feel no connection to that guy that got killed or nothing like that. And most of them, they don't have, I mean, even with their own family, they have no emotional connection, and I was blown away because it was unanimous. It wasn't even one in the room of no race that said, I got none of them. All of them said the same thing, and I was blown away.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, when you look at, you know, there's psychology behind everything. And yes, it is perpetual throughout the generations where we haven't received that love for one reason or another, whether it be somebody was on drugs or because somebody didn't receive it or whatever. That is something that we can get and go back all the way to slavery, honestly. A lot of our problems are systematically from that whole slavery thing. But when do we come out of that mentality and say, hey, it stopped now? And I believe that's what we're doing here, as we say we have to grab up the next generation and embrace them. And I'll go a little bit further, you know, because my thing is the little tiny people. I love them. So my thing is, as we talk about the youth, and I said this on another show, what about the foster system? What about all of our children that have been snatched out of their homes in the foster system? Can you go and get them? You know, because when we see white homosexual men taking our children, we want to post some stuff on Facebook and say this, and we want to turn our nose up. We see these white women going and getting our children. We want to say something. But what have you done? Have you gone and became a foster parent? You want to talk about how hard it is and you have children of your own, but don't say nothing, because have you looked at that foster parent that is doing something and bought them a gift card? Have you offered to take them a chicken wing? Have you offered to do anything? No. But again, that's our youth. Where are you going to help?
through here with your path, your destiny. You know, we, you know, like right now, they have. Built by the city, and they, I mean, they extravagant. They got all the amenities, and these are designed for grandparents who's raising their grand. They drug addicts, alcoholics, or they locked up or got killed or something like that. So we're designed for just grandparents. And I mean, so many grandparents come to the office because this generation, it's like I'm like a generation gap between the grandparents and this generation there. And you know, I guess my age and the people I work with is kind of in the middle right there. So these grandparents bring these young people, you know, their grandchildren to the office, and they be like, Mr. Muhammad, I don't know what the, I can't even relate to them. I don't understand why they do what they're doing. Nothing like that. And I mean, I'm just blown away at how many grandparents, I didn't know how big that was, but I'm blown away at how many grandparents now has literally become parents all over again because the children is just, like abandoning their children because of drugs. Most of it, probably the vast majority of it is because of drug addiction. The vast majority of our incarceration or something. You know, men get locked up and the grandparents don't want the system to take the children and they get them. But then, like in Phoenix, they have a lot of resources. And I think that program right there should be something duplicated over this, like throughout America, you know, by us or whatever. It should be duplicated because they bring a lot of resources to these grandparents who don't really have a lot of resources to really be parents to these children. And they're older, they having health challenges, and then, you know, here they got Pookie and Pee-wee and Junebug and Saquon and them just getting on their nerve. And, you know, it's all about cell phones and technology and, you know, social media and these people, like, I mean, but they don't want to, you know, just something, you know. But I feel what you're saying with the foster care system, because a lot of the young people work with, our young people in foster care, and here in Arizona, when you look at the homeless population, a lot of the young people who are homeless, they age out of foster care at 18, and the transitional program is not as vast as the number of children that they have in their system. So if you got 100 houses for children to, when they get 18, transitional houses, but you got 500 young people who turn to 18 this year, you got 400 of them who are homeless. So you got a lot of young people walking the street who are homeless. They don't have no family, no parents, and most of them are just becoming drug addicts. A lot of the young girls are becoming prostitutes, and they walk on the street 18, 19 years old with no family, and they live in the shelters and things like that. From shelter to shelter, it's really a horrific situation. So it's so much. Yeah, that's why I'm a proponent of getting in where you fit in. Because some people had a passion for that, you know?
Right.
Well, you are so right. And I'm going to say it. Go and get your kids. Those are all of our children. Those are all of our children. I mean, that's something people say. Get your kids. Well, they are our children. So, you know, if you don't have the ability to take a foster child in, can you go volunteer at the school? Can you go take somebody a gift card? Somebody said to me on Facebook, oh, I don't trust giving gift cards to foster parents. Well, okay, you don't want to do that. What is it that you can do to help? Because there's always something that you can do, you know. And again, that's our next generation. Those are the children that are coming up behind us. And Brother Gazi, you're talking about the grandparents. I saw a program like that in a counseling center that I worked at. But I actually saw great-grandchildren or great-grandparents raising grandchildren. So I'm really wondering what's going on. Like, where is everybody else in between? And I'm talking about the daddy, the mama, the grandma, the auntie. Where is everybody else that this great-grandparent is raising the grandchildren? We really have to get busy. Seriously, us who call ourselves conscious, we really have to get busy. And if that's only with the select few, let's just do what it is we can do. Let's start so that somebody else will come. If they see us pushing our car, they'll help us with some jumper cables. Let's just start.
Yeah, that's this is just inspiring me to at least get the paperwork, the ink on the paper. To at least go after one of them school buildings that I'm talking about. And like you said, that's so very true. Maybe somebody that see the progress, because I'm going to post it on Facebook, so maybe somebody will jump right on in and, you know, help support us to do that, because that is a real serious issue with our youth. And Brother Guys, I'm glad you just said what you just said, because, you know, I'm on the other end of that. I always think about the elderly in the nursing homes, and because, you know, that's where my grandmother was, and I used to go there, and I used to see so many of our elderly people wasting away in nursing homes. So, and it's the babies and the elders, and, you know, and we just gotta go after, we gotta go after our people, you know. So that's why I say these school buildings would make great institutions, as well as living accommodations for these young people, for families, that we can become a village within a secured environment, and we secure that environment on our own, and we teach these young men and women trades and stuff like that. I'm sure we got to be able to get some grants or something. I mean, there's got to be some help out there for this type of thing. So I'm definitely on top of this week. I'm going to go and just get inside the office of the school board to find out what's the process. You know, I'm interested in buying one of these buildings. You know, let's get the ball rolling. And I'm going to keep you updated. And Brother Rashid, I'm going to call you definitely on that one, so we can see where we can go.
I'm in.
Yeah, you know I'm going to call you on
I'm
that.
I'm in, doctor.
Yes, sir. I already know.
Man, I love y'all, man. I'm serious, brother. This is beautiful.
Right. You know, and one thing my brother Shabazz always say is that, you know, you should put your name on a $1 million deal regardless to where you at in your thinking, because the $1 million deal will bring you to another thinking. It'll definitely open your eyes up to something. And it ain't about, it's never a loss. It's never you lose. You should always learn. You never lose. You just learn. And it's a challenge. You know, honestly, I'm not going to make it seem like it's, you know, if you ain't never done it, then you probably procrastinate like myself. I have procrastinated the $1 million contract, you know. But it's good to have somebody in your ear that always speak to you on a higher level of existence and ideal and thought. Therefore, that way you entertain the ideal of doing this thing for so long, you eventually gonna do it. You know, then that's the each one teach one. You know, so, you know, I think that everybody, you know, we should just embrace one another a little bit more. Find where you fit in at, as Brother Gazi say. Get in where you fit in.
Yeah.
You know, there's a place for everybody. We all ain't cut from the same cloth, but we all got value.
Yes.
Right, and we have to actually celebrate each other's values. We don't really do a good job of that. We're so into competing, or if I see you doing something, I don't want you doing better than I'm doing. I mean, and those are some real psychological issues that we have to confront. And I had somebody communicate with me. Brother Rashid, it sounds like you're moving around. I'm going to mute you, okay?
Yeah, just fine.
Okay. I had somebody contact me about a book, and I was like, okay, you know, and he wanted me to read this book, and I'm like, okay, I'm moving around. But this book is called, I believe it's How to Read a Book. Shoot, I don't even have it in front of me right now. But as I was listening to this book, I was just like, wow, you know, we are at the first level of communication when we're talking about reading a book. You know, so many of us don't do enough reading. Therefore, we really don't know how to communicate. Just everything works in tandem with one another. So I think what I really would like to do, and I think I told you this before, Robert, is to have a book along. You know, they call them read-alongs, but I really want to have a book along where we read. You know, the first book I would like to read is this book called How to Read a Book, because, you know, if we're not effectively reading and getting the correct information, business is not going to go the way that it should go. So if we can start reading these books, get these business books on the PDF or the audio books, and we could simply put them through the sound system of the network, we can listen to them piece by piece and dialogue after a few pages or whatever. We could start people off like maybe the first few pages and then launch them into reading the rest of the book themselves, and maybe come together at the end of the month and talk about it again. But we've got to get each other reading. We've gotten so busy. I don't even say that saying that black people don't read. That sounds crazy. Black people do read. They just read things that they maybe shouldn't be reading, or they need to read other things. We read all the time. We read Facebook. We read YouTube. We read all kinds of stuff. But we've got to get into really reading. So if we can be the catalyst to that, I think it'll be, a good thing if we can get people into reading. So I think we're going to start working on that. We'll discuss it more, but I just
wanted
to put that out there. Yeah.
We got space, we got space to create these environments. That's the least of the worry. We just have to create the environment, and do it,
mm-hmm.
Topics of things that are very relevant, And I'm going back to what Brother Gazi said in reference to, the simple things, like, that was pretty profound, that the whole classroom, when it came to hearing somebody say I love you,
right,
they didn't have that. I remember once I was at my store on Jefferson, and I randomly started asking young brothers and sisters, when's the last time somebody said I love you to them? And as Gazi was saying what he was saying, I could relate to it so real, because it blew me away at how they would stop and stare like into space trying to figure out when was the last time. And I was looking at them like, damn, you doing too much already.
Right.
So when I just said, man, I love you. Mm-hmm. For real. Yeah. And I would hug them, because to see that response from people, and we need to ask people that, because those who really love themselves should be concerned about if you love, or if somebody has been shown expressing the love. We should show that we love these youth. They need a hug.
Yes.
Me and that little brother, when he see me, he say, hey, Brother Rob, he reach out and grab my hand and pull me in. I pull him in. We, wrap all the arm around each other's back. I said, what's up, little bro? He said, not much, big bro. What's up? Because he had, for the longest, and I think today he got through this day, he called me boss. And I don't like when people call me boss. I just don't like that, And I told him, I said, hey, man, you got one more damn time to call me boss. And I gave it to him with a real straight face. Yeah. He said, damn, bro, why was that shit? I said, man, I don't like that, bro.
Right.
I'm not your boss, man. We bosses together.
Right.
And then a lady pulled up and said, y'all chilling. I want to be down. How can I get down? I said, well, you got to come sit at the round table with the bosses. And pointed at me and the little brother, and he laughed. He said, that's right. So we got to show them some love that they're not used to experiencing. We got to put some responsibility on them that they never had.
Yes.
Another experience I had with youth, Brother Rashid can tell you, I used to give the little young brothers 9, 10, 11 years old instructions. Hey, little brother, go down to that check cashing place on Jefferson. Give me a money order for $5.89 or $6.70.
Yes.
But don't pull this money out until you get to where you all by yourself.
Right.
And when you get by yourself, you pull this money out and you tell her you need a money order for whatever that amount was. And I trusted them to do that. That was huge to them little brothers. Now, them little brothers that I did that with, they grown men with families now.
Yes.
A couple of them,
caught up with me at the flea market because I'm a long ways from where they know me to be. So when they look, they're like, Brother Rob? I said, yeah. Oh, man, come here, brother. And one little brother was so excited. He said, Brother, we ain't seen each other in about 10 years. And this is what he said to me. He said, your words carried me through these 10 years that I ain't seen you, brother. Yeah. My wife, I tell my wife about what you did for me in the store, how you taught me to run the store, how you taught me to be a better man. That's what I made a video of the little brother saying that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
You see, so this is the impact that we have, and I'm going to say through entrepreneurship, because that little brother is taking care. He said, man, I learned to handle my money by working with you. I handle my money at the house better. you see? He said, I don't spend my money like the average person. This is the young little brother. And that touched me. You know, I'm like, man, that felt good to hear that. So we have a responsibility as we are community leaders, entrepreneurs, anybody that's in front of the people are leaders in the community, and we have a responsibility, and we have to be held accountable. If you get money, if you in front of the people speaking, then we got to give them life skills that they can make it through this life and take care of their families and become productive men and women. This is the responsibility of civilized people.
Right,
because if you don't give them the life skills that they so desperately need, then they have to get the pseudo life skills from the other people. And those life skills are actually death skills, which comes in the form of prison, the pharmaceuticals, selling drugs, so you become incarcerated. I mean, it's just a cycle of nothingness. So we definitely have to do our part. We're always teachers. You know, even when somebody comes up to you and they have a nasty attitude, you're a teacher. You're not gonna do an eye for an eye at that time. What you're gonna do is you're gonna continue to be the pleasant person you are, although they are treating you a certain kind of way. That's a teaching moment. You know, somebody is always watching us, no matter where you are. I don't care if you're on Facebook. Somebody's always watching you. And when we carry that, we will know and we will see, you know, improvement in ourselves and in our community.
Yes.
Right. That's right. So, Brother Ghazi, you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay, so Brother Ghazi, share with the people your group that you started. Give us a little information on how to contact you, so that the people that's listening, especially in your area, or maybe they want to get you to come and speak to youth in surrounding cities. Tell people how to get in contact with you.
Yes, well, they can visit the website. It's yourpathyourdestiny.org. It's your yourpathyourdestiny.org. Your path, your destiny. Or you can email me directly at yourpathisunique@gmail.com. And the idea with this is, you know, like on a weekly basis, we go into the schools, the juveniles, even the prisons here, from elementary school up to college campuses here in Arizona, talking to like the young people. And the idea is to show everybody their own uniqueness, you know, and not make nobody carbon copies or nothing else, but to pull out of people what's in them. So when I heard that the definition of education come from the Latin word that means to draw out or to pull out, you know, it really stuck with me. And, you know, rather than indoctrinate and impose a philosophy or ideology on the young people, I try to look at them and study them and try to pull out of them their natural intrinsic values, something that came with them that they already have ownership of, that they may not know that even exists. And try to show them that you can be different. Everybody ain't got to be like Mike. The only value that Mike has is showing me that if I be myself, I can be successful too. If that's what Mike's doing, he's successful in doing that, then his example to me, even Minister Farrakhan, the example is that he's on his purpose, he's on his mission. And if he did anything other than his purpose and mission, he wouldn't be as successful as he is. But because he's on his purpose and his mission, he's being successful. And that's an example to me, and I try to share that with the young people, that you have a purpose. You know, you got a mission here in life. So we try to pull up out of them something that's inside them that they don't even know that they even possess, you know. And, of course, we do life coaching and motivational speaking. And, you know, our specialty is that hard-to-reach element. You know, them young boys who the ones the pants sagging and things like that, because we have some experience in that, personal experience. So we have an affinity for that element. But for our young people, you know?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, yes, thank you. Thank you for that.
And we definitely get in touch with you, brother. Brother Rashid Shabazz is in also. He's in Las Vegas, Nevada. He has a mobile venture lab down there. And if you want to get in touch with that brother, if you're ever in the Las Vegas area and you need some dentures done on the spot, call Mobile Denture Lab, and you can get. I will post his number up on the Facebook page, and you can, if you want to get in touch with him, you definitely can get in touch with me as well, brother. Rashid, you there?
Yes, sir.
Just give me your number real quick. We got to get off the air, though.
Please. We got to hurry up. It's 659, and I got to still close out. Go ahead.
702-245-7986. 702-245-7986.
Thank you, my brother. Love all of you guys.
All of you so much.
CC, kick us home.
Thank you so much, everybody. We love you, too. You did hear from us today. We love you. This is Blacks in Business on Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to reach out to us, our email is weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com, or you can join us on Facebook. Our Facebook page is called BIB in all capital letters, BIB Radio. Okay, thank you all for joining us tonight. It's been a very fruitful conversation. Again, thank you for everyone that came on with us today. We will see you next Thursday at the same time, 7 p.m. Central Standard. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.